been doing a series of studies on midnight Bible stories, that's what we called it, and we're working our way to a midnight Bible story in Acts 12, which we won't, again, get here there today, but we will get there eventually. The story in Acts 12 has to do with Peter in Herod's prison, and at a midnight hour, the Lord helped him escape. But we've been doing some background on Peter, just so we'll understand real good when we get to this story, who Peter was and where he came from and what the Lord had been doing in his life. And we read a scripture a couple weeks ago in John 20, verse 9. Now, let me turn there so I don't, I'm a good misquoter if I don't look at the scripture. Let's see, John. We're going to be in John 20, 21, Acts 1 through 12, and we're bouncing around a little bit like we always do, so get ready. But when Peter and John ran down to Jesus' tomb on the day of his resurrection, they were surprised he wasn't there. It says because in John 20, verse 9, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I asked last week, how many of you are Bible experts? And nobody raised their hand. Probably, properly so. But I think the majority of you here know your Bible better than most people. So how was it that some 50 days later, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was able to preach a sermon? Peter was able to preach a sermon where over 3,000 people were saved. Now, what had changed? Well, he'd got the Holy Ghost. They all did. Years ago, Sue and I went down to visit our brother, Sue's brother, Dave, and Sally live down in Aztec, New Mexico. There was a man down there who had a ministry, singing ministry. I think he wanted to be the next up-and-coming country gospel singer, but never happened. But he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And there was a church that requested him to come and sing for him and preach to him. Well, he realized that he wasn't a preacher. And then the Holy Ghost spoke to his heart. And he wrote this song later. I'm not a preacher, but there's a preacher living in me. And Peter wasn't a preacher, but when he got full of the Holy Ghost, there was a preacher living in him. And Dwayne Austin, he's not here, but he's not a preacher, but he has a ministry. And it's a garage, Ernie's Auto Service, in church. And I told you this story one time how I was in there, and it's busy at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I was in there one day, and the phone didn't ring for 45 minutes. And Dwayne was talking to this woman about the Lord. And it was a wonderful sermon. Too bad it couldn't have been recorded. And I think it fell on deaf ears. But he told her the truth. And you know, I thought about this too. John Hill, over the years, brought and led so many to the Lord. How many of you are here because of John Hill? Well, Scott, you wouldn't have Lynn if it hadn't been for John Hill, you know. And then indirectly, there's a bunch of us that are here just because of one man's ministry. But he wasn't a preacher, but he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. So we can all have and be empowered by the Holy Ghost to speak to somebody. Might be the only sermon they ever hear might come out of your mouth. Think about it. So it's important to have the Holy Ghost. Last week we talked about three different sermons that we find of Peter's. One was in Acts 2, one's in Acts 3. The results of the sermon in Acts 3 is found in Acts 4:4, where about 5,000 were saved. And then there's the one where he was called to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, in Acts 10. And while he was preaching to him in Acts 10:44, the Holy Ghost fell on them, which heard the word, and they of the circumcision, that is, the Jews which were with Peter, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? Acts 10:46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. What are you going to do if you have the Holy Ghost? Two things. You're going to speak with tongues and you're going to magnify God. That's what happened in the second chapter of Acts 2. And so Peter, of all people, who didn't know that the scriptures, some 50 days earlier, was empowered to preach some powerful sermons where lots of people got saved. And in Acts 10:38, Peter's sermon to those in the house of Cornelius, we read how Peter preached how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost empowered Peter to do the same thing. If you go back to Acts 4, you'll find that Peter and the rest were brought before the Jewish Sanhedrin Council. And in verse, this is Acts 4:8, when they got in front of the council, they'd already had two powerful sermons preached by Peter. And then it says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, that means a net crammed with the Holy Ghost, if you will. He was an old fisherman, remember? Jesus told him he'd make him a fisher of men. Didn't say what men. The Sanhedrin Council were men, wicked men, to be real honest with you. And they needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we be this day examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you all. Now, that means that Peter was probably from the south. No, it doesn't. Somebody asked me that last week. No. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when they, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And this was the effect that Peter's Holy Ghost-inspired words had upon the Sanhedrin council. Peter couldn't have had an impact speaking by himself into the Sanhedrin council, but Peter spoke being like a net crammed full of the Holy Ghost, and his Holy Ghost-inspired words had a lasting impact. Oh, they'd get arrested again, and they'd get threatened again. But one of the common themes of all three of Peter's sermons was that God raised Jesus from the dead upon the third day according to the scriptures. According to the scriptures, they didn't know before the resurrection. Now, let's go back to John, the 21st chapter. We were there. And remember in the 21st chapter of John that Peter, after Jesus' resurrection, he had convinced six of the other disciples that we're going to go back to going fishing. Come on, you know. That wasn't what they were instructed they were going to do when the Lord got a hold of them. But that's where they ended up. And remember, we've mentioned this before, we never read of Peter catching any fish on his own, even though he was a professional fisherman. But when Jesus came along, he caught multitudes of fish. Well, they'd fished all night and hadn't caught anything. And John 21:14, Jesus came on the scene, and it says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. This was the morning after Peter and those other six apostles with him had gone fishing and had caught nothing until Jesus came upon the scene. And John emphasizes the fact that this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead, as if to emphasize, especially unto Peter, who seemed to need everything told to him three times before he got it once. Isn't that right? We have a lot of threes associated with Peter. The fact that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead. And remember, Jesus had distinctly told his disciples, these apostles, that he would die and rise again from the dead. And if you want to, again, jot down the verses where you can read these three distinct different times where Jesus told them this, one is found in Matthew 16:21. The second time is found in Matthew 17:22 and 23. And the third time is found in Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. Well, Peter finally got the message that he was to preach, which was God raised Jesus from the third day according to the scriptures. He preached that. Yes, he did. Go to 1 Peter. And this was a common theme Peter preached about and a common theme he wrote about in his epistles. 1 Peter 1, we'll keep this short. We'll just look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Drop down to verse 18. "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Excuse me, go to 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Did you note as we went through this that it was three times in 1 Peter that Peter mentioned the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And again, there's many threes associated with Peter. He emphasized things three times too, because he realized if he didn't get it the first three times, maybe other people wouldn't either. Now back to John 21:14, and we have one more thought before we leave this verse. John 21:14 again says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Let's go back to John now, chapter 20, and we'll read the first two times Jesus appeared unto his disciples, his apostles after his resurrection. We go to John, we'll read parts from verses 19 through 29. And be it known here this morning that this wasn't the last time he appeared unto his apostles before being caught up in Acts 1, and we'll cover that in a little bit. But the first appearance to his disciples after his resurrection was actually on the day of his resurrection, where we read in John 20:19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now I want you to notice something as we continue reading here, that Jesus repeats the phrase, peace be unto you, three times. Jesus didn't come down to spook them or to startle them. So he calms them down with these words, peace be unto you. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. This is important, because here Jesus was sending his disciples forth with orders, meaning that's the definition of being an apostle, to be sent forth with orders from the Lord. He was sending them forth as apostles that he had called them to be. Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, if you go back to Genesis 2:7, you read there, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The breath of life here in Genesis 2:7 made man a living soul. This act of breathing on them in John 20, verse 22, underlined the importance of receiving the Holy Ghost. And that happened to them on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. The Holy Ghost in their lives was essential to their becoming the apostles they were sent to be. Acts 1:8 tells us the Holy Ghost was the power they needed to become the fishers of men Jesus sent them to be. In other words, in one sense, we can think of the Holy Ghost as being the breath from heaven that speaks to us the wonderful works of God. He breathed on them. John 20, 24. And when Jesus breathed on them, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Remember? Okay, John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But he, Thomas, saith unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." He was a hard sell, wasn't he? Okay, verse 26. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas this time was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He stood in their midst. Guess what he said? "Peace be unto you." Now this was the second time he had appeared unto them after his resurrection. Verse 27. Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And that is us. Okay. Then the third appearance by Jesus unto his disciples after his resurrection is in John 21. And this appearance was designed especially for Peter's benefit. Oh yeah, they all got benefit out of this. But you read the story in John 21. It was Peter that was being singled out here. Remember we mentioned a few weeks ago, Peter was that alpha male kind of guy that they all followed. Well, Jesus was a one up on him. Alpha and Omega and so on and so forth. First and the last, beginning and the end, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all those things. We went over a long list that didn't include everything that Jesus is. Well, Jesus had Peter's attention. In John 21:14, this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. And then next in John 21, we read probably the next most familiar threes associated with Peter, where Jesus encourages Peter with a threefold discourse on love. And no doubt 3 degrees of love are expressed here to Peter. So let's read here for a little bit. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto who? Simon Peter. Simon, son of Jonas, that means the hearkening son of a dove, lovest thou me more than these? He was pointing to the other apostles. And Simon Peter said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said unto him, "Feed my lambs." 16, Jesus speaking here, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Yeah, I know you, Peter. You don't get things quite right the first time. So let's try this again. "Lovest thou me?" Peter saith to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, feed my sheep. 17, the third time, Jesus saith unto him, the third time, Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now we've heard countless sermons from these very verses concerning the deepest kind of love, which is agape love, that closest kind of affectionate love that can be expressed between man and God. And that was what Jesus was getting Peter here to appreciate. So we should also pay close attention to the fact that Jesus repeated unto Peter three times the point of emphasis that he, Peter, was to feed the flock of the Lord. I think Peter got the message. You know, he might have got it the first time, but he really got it after the third time. And I want to make mention of a fact that we've mentioned before, I think, but I want you to recall that while he was on earth, there are three different records showing that Jesus told Peter he would make him a fisher of men. And we read one in Luke 5:10, where Jesus saith unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Well, by the time of John 21, had Peter caught any men? Not yet. He wasn't equipped to catch men yet. Peter needed the power of the Holy Ghost reigning within before he could catch men. And here in John 21, Jesus was encouraging people, Peter, is how to catch men, and that being to feed my lambs, the little sheep, to tend my sheep, and to feed my sheep. The message that Peter here was taught, and the main point he learned here, was that he needed to have the same divine passion as Jesus Christ himself had in loving God and in feeding the flock of God. And here in John 21, Jesus was instructing Peter how to accomplish this, and Peter continued to instruct, Jesus continued to instruct Peter in the next verses in John 21, verses 20 and 22, or 20 through 22. John 21:20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now we know that's John, which also leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Peter said to the Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Oh, that wasn't right. Let me just read what the scripture says. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, seeing John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Peter, you got your eyes on the wrong thing, buddy. You're looking here, and you need to be looking here. You need to be looking up. Remember that Peter and John were partners in the fishing business, and they had been partners along together before Jesus came on the scene. Well, Jesus was instructing Peter not to worry about John any longer. Jesus would take care of John, and Jesus would take care of Peter, too. And he would take care of Peter better than John could take. So, Peter, follow thou me. Guess how many times in Scripture Peter was told of Jesus to follow me? Oh, yeah, that's right. Let me give you those three different times. This was the third time in John 21:22. The first time is in Matthew 4:18 through 20. I'll give you a second to get there. 1001. Yeah. Those with electronic Bibles and fast fingers are already there. Matthew 4:18. And this was the first time he said to follow me. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And then go to Matthew 16:24. This is the second time. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, and let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Who were his disciples? Peter was there among them. That same story is also told in Mark 8:34 and Luke 9:23, but we're not going to read it there. The third time is here in John 21:19-22. And Jesus actually tells him twice here. If you look in verse 19 at the end, it says, and when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And then in verse 22 ends with these words, follow thou me. So we get the indication here after reading what was went on there in John 21 that Jesus intended to give Peter and the other disciples further instructions in the immediate future. So follow me. In John 21:25, we find that this indeed happened, because John writes, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they could be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, turn a page in your Bible, or go to the next page in your Bible, and you're in Acts, the first chapter. And in Acts 1:1, let's read a few verses. Luke is writing Acts, and he writes, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus. That former treatise was the book of Luke. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. So was he seen of them three times or more? More than three times. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, if we could have been there, what would we have heard? And what would we have learned from Jesus during these 40 days? Well, we know that Peter obviously followed the Lord the rest of his life. He followed Jesus as he was instructed to do. And Peter, as we have already noted, led literally thousands to the Lord as he became the fisher of men that Jesus told him he would be by following Jesus. Okay, now, again, by the time we get to Acts 12, we're going to know Peter pretty good. We just studied in John 21 about the passion Peter was to have for the Lord in order to properly feed my sheep, as Jesus had instructed him to do. And, of course, Peter and the other apostles of the Lord, they lack the power necessary to accomplish this. So reading on in Acts 1:4-5, verse 8, we read what was mandatory in their lives in order for them to complete the tasks that the Lord had foreordained them to do. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8, Jesus says again, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that enabled Peter and the other apostles to become the fishers of men Jesus intended them to become when he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said that back in Matthew 4:19. Okay, we've already indicated in our last couple of studies and discussed the power of Peter's ministry after he was filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, how 3,000 were saved on that first sermon, 5,000 on that second sermon, as noted in Acts 4:4. And in Acts 5:14, we read that multitudes, both of men and women, believed because of Peter's and the other apostles' preaching. And then in Acts 5:42, we read, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach, teach and preach Jesus Christ. God is the only one who knows how many were saved because of Peter's preaching. But we do know the number was in the thousands, probably in the tens of thousands, maybe even in the hundreds of thousands. Do we know any of these people's names? I think we do. And you can think about that because we're going to run out of time here. And I think this is a good place to call it good for today. And we'll see who some of these multitudes were. We'll get some names. We're going to take some names that we became Christians because of Peter's preaching. You'd be surprised.